Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the H1 FY26 conference call of Shree Karni Fabcon Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. From the management, today we have Mr. Rajeev Lakhotia, Managing Director, and Mr. Arvind Lahoti, Chief Financial Officer. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arvind Lahoti, Chief Financial Officer of Shree Karni Fabcon Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. A very good afternoon to everyone. I am Mr. Arvind Kumar Lahoti, CFO of your company. Welcome you all to con call of Shree Karni Fabcon Limited, and thank you for joining us today. The first half of FY26, the company delivered robust financial results highlighted by strong revenue growth and improved profit metrics compared to the same period last year. Our revenue from operations rose sharply to 107 crore, which is up 40.73%, indicating strong demand. Our employee benefit expense also rose 25.3% to 5.4 crore, as we hired reputed professionals mainly in R&D and designing team with other compensation upgrades. Our EBITDA soared 45% year-on-year to 10.86 crore, with the EBITDA margin improving to 10.15% from 9.85% last year. Our PAT grew robustly by 26.77% to 6.17 crore. This growth has come alongside improved operating performance, with EBITDA and profitability expanding meaningfully versus the previous year, despite higher depreciation from new assets coming on stream. I would like to now request moderator to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Navneet Gupta from NGC. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Is my voice audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please proceed.
Okay. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is, what is actually our competitive advantage in the technical textile sectors or the other verticals of textiles that we are operating, and who are our listed peers as well as unlisted peers in this space? And my second question is regarding, I think there is a substantial margin gap difference in H1 versus H2. So will there again be the same trend in this year also, like 7%-8% EBITDA margin difference between H1 and H2, and why that difference is there?
The line for Mr. Navneet has been disconnected. We will take the next question from Mr. Tanmoy Roy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So one thing I would like to know, as you can see, our CapEx is already done. And so I believe our depreciation interest cost will be increasing accordingly. So how much we are expecting the depreciation interest cost for the year, financial year FY27, and how it's going to impact our margin trajectory?
Hello. Can I start? See, there was a depreciation cost has increased, but as you see, we have taken that in account, and it will be substantially the same in this year also, because now from here, we are not going to add anything else. Just we are going to planning to increase the percent capacity of our dyeing house from here. So I don't think so this will impact anything further from here. Whatever is there will be there like this only, and we will make up for this also in the second quarter, I think. Say second half, I think. Think so.
So we can work with like 13% margin as of now for second half also.
13% PAT you're talking?
No, EBIT.
Yes, sir.
Operating
We will
margin.
increase from here. We will 100% increase from here. We will not go anywhere down from here.
But for as a base case, you can take it as 13% now, and then maybe if business improve, it also can improve, right?
100% things are going to improve from here. They are not going to go any down from here if needed.
Okay. So second one, like, as you know, one of our biggest client is VIP, and VIP has been taken over by, new promoter. And how do you see like business shaping up for us? Like, do you see any incremental more volume from them, or they are like moving to any other?
First of all, VIP is one of our biggest clients. We have equally like Samsonite and Safari also in our portfolio and a few others also. But for Safari, for VIP right now, the management has taken over. And as you see, they have pumped in hefty amount of money in the company. And they are planning to go a big way, big way, means you can say. And we are very big benefit for us also. So I don't think so anything wrong going with them. And they will go aggressive for the next 3-4 years very, very fast. So it will give a boost to us also.
Yeah, that's what I was just trying to understand. Like,
Yeah,
they are actually going aggressive and.
because the old management was not so aggressive for the business also, and they were not the business was handled by the lower people only. And now they are going aggressive, and they are taking good participation in the business. So I think it will grow multiple from here.
Okay. Thanks. So the last one I'd like to like, do you have any update on our like defense sector order booking or anything like that, or we are
We have already started doing small business with some of the, I mean, second tier companies, you can say, not directly to the defense, because for the defense, you need directly the certifications and the nominations. You need to have some criteria to start defense directly. We are working on that. But as of now, we have started supplying to the people who are doing for the defense, like 2, 3, 4 companies are there who are making jackets for defense and backpack for defense. So we have started dealing with them, and gradually going ahead, once we get all the certifications and everything, we'll start dealing with them directly, because there are some formalities for the tender business. We don't let every people enter so fast. So we are on it, and we will capture it very fast.
And in brand concept is also our customer, right? Client, right?
Yeah, they are very old customer, yeah.
Okay, so because they are also going aggressive in terms of all the other products.
Yes, they are a very old customer, a very close friend also. So they are doing
Oh,
very well.
okay. Yeah, because
Yeah.
yeah, they got recently many other brand also into their kitty. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it from my end. Thank you so much for the update.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Namish Gupta from NGC. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I think I was disconnected for 5-10 minutes earlier. So my questions are, sir, I mean, what is actually our competitive advantage versus our peers in this in the verticals that we are currently operating, and who are actually our listed peers or unlisted peers in this in the verticals that we are operating? And my second question is, sir, I mean, there is substantial difference of 6%-8% EBITDA margin in H1 versus H2. So will that same trend will continue this year also? Like, EBITDA margins in H2 will be significantly higher by 7%-8% in H2. And why that is, And if that is the case, why is such case? I mean, why in S2 margins are so higher while in S1 margins are so lower, sir?
Firstly, first of all, your question was what is our advantage? The biggest advantage we have is our experience. Means no one can read back from here. Since the luggage industry started a boom, I think we were the first player to enter the luggage industry in 1999. Since then we are continuously in touch with the companies, and we have all the end-to-end processes from only we buy yarn from outside and everything we have in-house. In fact, now we are making finished goods also in-house. This is the biggest advantage that we have everything under one roof, which very few factories in India have as of now. This is the biggest advantage. Plus our relationship with the customers, because we are since so old that our experience and our relation, plus our benefits of the integrated setup, all the nominations what we have, all the things, all the benefits what we have with the what the requirement, their requirement, whatever they need, they have everything with us. They have a big choice that we can offer to them, which no one else can. Now your second question was, I think, regarding the H1 and S2 differences, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
See, the S2 business is always the school business and the travel industry business is also there. The season is there, travel season is there. The volumes are also more. There are some benefits which we get in S2, like some subsidies and some interest subsidies with these things. Which are there in the S2 time. These things impact the business. Now we are going ahead in the next year. We are going to focus on the other businesses also, which are not dependent on the luggage industry. This year, yes, you will find a differentiate in the S2 again. From next year, we will try to improve the H1 also, and S2 is always better. The H1 will also increase from next year onwards.
Okay.
Bye.
Sir, I mean, like, this year also, like, EBITDA margins will be 6%-7% higher in S2 and like, just like previous two, three years?
This must be there, yeah. Like every year trend is there, this must be there because the business is also higher in the S2 and everything is better in the going second half.
Okay. In my first, I mean, first thing also, I mean, who are our listed or unlisted peers, sir?
Okay. Listed peers, there was a player, but it was also not focusing 100% on luggage industry. JCT was doing some somewhat other business in the industry, but now they are not giving that, I think. Not doing that, I think so. Unlisted player, there are two, three players. There's a player called Citizen Umbrella. They are doing in this field. There is a player from Novotek. They are doing it, but there are no listed player as of now.
Okay. One more thing if I can ask, sir. Like, how in our business, how much is the share of the luggage business, I mean, as of now?
As of now, luggage is around 50%-60% of our business. Going ahead, by 2027, 2028, we target to have any sector not more than 30% of our business. It's not that this business will go down. It's like that other business will grow and simultaneously this will also grow. The other business will grow more and we'll have a focus like this.
Okay. Okay.
That none of the sector is more than 30%.
Okay. 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 Sure, sir. Sure. I will again come back in queue.
Sure, sir. Sure.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil S from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. Yes, I can hear.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Sir, first of all, what is your current capacity?
Current capacity, wise? Which are you talking about? Hello?
Hello.
Sir, current capacity like means, which type of capacity means you're talking about?
You have, I believe knitting and weaving, correct? You do.
Yeah. Yeah, like. The weaving capacity right now we have around 18 lakh-20 lakh meters, and the knitting capacity we have around 90 tons a month. 3 lakh meters a month. And coating capacity is we have around 40 lakh meters a month. Right. So you can say dyeing capacity right now we are 15 to 20 lakh meters. But we are planning to double it soon.
Okay, let me put it this way. Combined, as of now, combined overall, the capacity you have for each vertical you operate in, what can be your peak revenue potential at your maximum utilization?
Peak revenue can never be defined with the meterage you make. Peak revenue can be defined with what are you making. Like if you make the same 20 lakh meters in for a luggage segment, it will be a 30 rupees fabric, so it's a 66 crore business. If you make the same thing for a nylon fabric, for a difference, it will be 100 rupees fabric. So the peak capacity cannot be defined like this. Peak capacity can be defined with the quantity, and it can be different with the different varieties of items we make. But with the same thing, I think with addition of few machines, we can grow double also from here.
So if one has to, get an idea or forecast as to what kind of business you will do in H2 and then in FY27, how does one, figure that out? Is there an order book or is...
We already intimated saying that we will be growing at least 25% from year to year. But after that, whatever is there, that will be good only from that. But minimum 25% we are telling all of our conferences that we will be there. So
that you'll achieve this year and the next year also, or over year on year. Okay. And when you mentioned that, you will be focusing on other products next year, right? Apart from the luggage sector, what will these products be which will help you elevate your margins in like both the half, first half and second half?
So this will be specialized garments, first of all, where we will be doing some specialized means. Windsheet fabrics, you can talk about rainwear fabrics, you can talk about the fire retardant fabrics. These will be the different sector we will be doing in. Then there will be, you can say, some umbrella fabrics. We will be entering into umbrella segment this year with only one or two players. In fact, you can say one or two players are only doing in India. No one is making umbrella fabrics in India as of now. Then some of the rainwear fabrics will be doing. So these are the different segments we will be entering this year.
Okay, and currently on the ground, the demand is very strong. What are the tailwinds supporting your business?
The demand is really strong. There is no chance in them, no doubt about that. And the luggage segment is, as the China is in India, the demand is going more day by day. This is the main favor of the business. And plus the container charges have gone so high. I mean, it was used to be $400-$500 for a hard luggage, and where now it's almost $1,700-$1,500. So the hard luggage is not at all affordable from China. So these are favoring us in all the ways. Plus, the government policies also, they are wanting not to import fabric from China and from any other country. So these are favoring us in all the ways.
Okay, and lastly, on a year overall, like annual basis, is a 12-13% PAT a sustainable number for your business?
So we are targeting on that only, going further.
Okay, and it's achievable?
100%.
Given current conditions? Okay, sir. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. And sorry to interrupt, Rajiv, sir. Your voice was not audible earlier.
Okay, I'll just... Is it clear now?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hello? It clear now?
Yes, sir. It is clear.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Ari from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, regarding this higher value and higher entry barriers category, which you have mentioned in the press release, how difficult is for a new entrant to come into this space, and how much margin difference from your normal business does this have?
Sir, it is, I will not say that it's very easy to enter those businesses, because there are some barriers. Means you can say there are only one or two or three players, not even three players going, means doing these businesses.
And if you look just now, there was an announcement that Motilal Oswal invested 100 crores in a company called Kusum Ghar. And if I see their PAT, their PAT was almost 30%. So you can see what's the difference of the business and what the category they are dealing in. And we target to enter in that business. Our focus is to enter in that business only.
So how much is the margin difference compared to a normal business and this business, and volume-wise and percentage of revenue-wise, 2-3 years down the line, how much you want to capture revenue, overall your revenue-wise?
We are targeting to enter in those businesses. We cannot commit anything that how much business will we cater in that, but I think we will enter those businesses very soon. And the margin, once we enter in those businesses, the margin will also increase rapidly.
But do you think it can become 20-30% of your revenue in 2-3 years time?
Yeah, in 3 years we can 100% it will be, or almost 20-25% of our business.
Okay. And I think earlier there was a release about Walmart, you becoming a Walmart. So how much you can scale up in 2-3 years, because Walmart is a very big giant in the retail life. So out of your total revenues in 2-3 years, how much you can scale up with Walmart?
See, as of now, because of tariff, we are not able to commit anything. But if the tariff goes back again to normal, I think it will be a huge business. I mean, we cannot count on that business. It will be very huge. Not only Walmart, we are targeting for Target also. We have 2-3 more brands also. So it can be a huge business. But the tariff should come down. And it will come down. I don't think it will be a problem.
And this higher value, higher entry, barriers, the categories, defense, fire resistant textiles and special outdoor equipment. Who are our end customers for these products? Can you just give some 2-3 or at least few names?
For defense, government is the end customer.
Okay.
And for the higher value chain, means you talk about the specialized garments. These are basically the people who make boiler suit for the export companies, for the oil fields, for the industrial garments who make these things. These are the main customers. For the specialized garment, the jacket, windcheater jacket, these are the main players. The end customer will be like Nike, Jack and Jones, Adidas. These people will be the end customers. Might be we are not supplying directly to them, but they're tier one customers who make and supply to them. These will be the main customers.
Okay.
The biggest brands of the world, you can say.
Who are the competitors in this space? Can you just highlight? And do you want to capture, are there some Chinese or some other players where,
China is nowhere in India. China is only supplying fabrics, and but that too also not a very big scale, because defense and these companies have a norm that the product should be 80% made in India. So because of these norms, we have a entry barrier there, and China has an entry barrier there. So we have a winning edge on that.
But I'm saying, take an example, I think some high-end finished goods space, right? So who are the competitor again? Because you said there are very few players. So do you think you can capture very good market share because of our cost advantage overall, because we are backward integrated?
Yes, sir. Because of our backward integration, we have a cost advantage for the same. Because none of the players are doing edge-to-edge everything. They are either taking the contract and getting it, contract manufactured from someone else, or they are taking the contact and getting the raw material from someone else, but no one has the edge to it. But people have it, like Arvind Limited have it. But Arvind is a very big company, you know, Arvind, Garware, they have these things. But keeping their production cost and our production cost, we will be in a very winning edge that we have a very less overhead cost and everything.
So what is the total addressable market in this space, high-end finished goods space, just because I can understand it might be a very global marquee brands, whatever you have indirectly referenced. So how much will be total addressable market, and how much you want to capture only for high-end finished goods space?
See, high-end finished goods space, if we target only about India, we can see a very big market also. But we are not targeting India, we are targeting global, means around the globe. So if we can target these things, like we have an entry in Walmart already, we have an entry in Target already. So we don't target only India market. We target we get one entry in Walmart for the finished goods backpack. So we can offer them jackets also. We can offer them the other finished goods products also. So you can say that it is a very big space where we want to enter, not only India. So I don't think so that quantity and quality is a issue there. Just getting the orders and going the flow one by one is the main thing.
No, no. My question was more on, you said in your press release, boutique buyers and premium segments, because yeah, profitability is higher. So what is the target addressable market globally for where you want to capture some revenue, right? So I'm trying to understand that, please.
Sir, we are targeting US as of now, US and Europe as of now. And after that, we will be targeting the other countries.
No, but what is the market size where you're targeting this goods? So I'm trying to understand that, please.
Means you are talking about the value of the market right now.
Yes. For only this high end finished goods, which is like premium segment and target boutique buyers, right? So this niche, their profitability is higher, like you're putting here.
Combined all the brands, we cannot target about the value of these brands, because these brands are so big that we cannot fulfill the orders of 1-2 brands also. So I cannot tell you 100% about the exact value of the chain, but it can be in multiple of crores, so means we cannot count that.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Murtaza from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I just had a couple of questions. I would just like you to further share some insights about the defense, fire resistance, and the specialized garment section that we're planning to penetrate. So, currently, in what kind of stage are we? Are we in discussions, or are we in the trial mode of things? And when can we can you please share some insights about this?
See, specialized garments, we are already dealing with some of the brands. Means we have done, we have already supplied a few fabrics for Nike, for Jack and Jones, and some to their manufacturers. For fire retardant fabrics, we have already done the trial and errors for the sampling, and some are also in process. I think we have executed one or two small orders also. And for the defense, we are already dealing with the two vendors who are making and supply to defense, but we are not directly nominated with them till now. We are in the process of nominations. So once we get it through, we'll be directly nominated with them. But we have already done the R&D, but it's a very big segment. So we have, they have suppose 100 SQs. So we have done 20-30 SQs with us right now. And gradually we'll be doing the trial and so on, because it needs a very hefty amount of R&D also. So as we are growing, we are hiring the talent more and more for that. But we have already hired them, and they are in process of doing the same.
Okay. Can you please quantify the timeline by when we can expect ourselves to maybe qualify ourselves as a vendor or a direct person to bid in the entire value system?
Sir, we cannot say the exact time, but going ahead in next 2-3 years, we will 100% try and get our company registered there and start supplying.
Okay. Another question, sir. Could you please give us the split of revenue in terms of different verticals? You gave 60-65% is from our luggage. So could you quantify the other the remaining part?
See, as of now, we are around 50-60% with the luggage industry. Then we are doing with the inner lining for the leather goods, 10% is that. Then with 10% is the specialized garments segment. Then 5% you can say around that chairs, upholstery fabric and shoe industry, and balance is remaining.
Okay. This helps. And sir, could you also, could you please share, could, earlier in the, while answering a question, you did tell that in the second half, we kind of receive some subsidies. So could you share some insights a little on what kind of the nature of those subsidies, where exactly does it come in?
So these are the general capital subsidy, interest subsidies of the government which we receive.
Okay, sir. And lastly, one final question. As of now, what kind of utilization are we at for our capacity?
We are around that 80-85% utilization for our machine, but as I told that it's not the utilization, it's about the product what we make. Right now we are making the very niche products. So as we grow up in the higher value chain, we can utilize the same machines making the higher products.
and we can outsource the lower segment products from outside.
Okay, okay, sir. And yes. And lastly, like us penetrating into the specialized garments or the other high high entry barrier segments, like we already have the capacity in place. We just need to like use the existing facility, and we can get that same output, right?
Yeah, might be. Suppose we have 10 machines, so we need to buy 1-2 machines maximum. If we need to buy, rest we have everything in house.
Okay, okay, this helps. Thank you very much. We'll go back into the.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavika Jain from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. Can you?
So the first question I have is regarding your revenue mix. Can you tell me, like, because you have a lot of products in your portfolio, so can I know which product have a highest margin and which product contributes more in your revenue mix? And as you are going in more products in future, so which product will contribute a lot in terms of margin? If you can highlight something regarding this.
I just now told that we have a 55% to 60% revenue from our the luggage industry. Then 10% was from the leather goods people whom we supply the inner lining for the biggest brands of the world. And then we have 10% in the specialized garments and these other things, and 5% in the chair industry, you can say upholstery, you can say foot mats, like the different items are there. So this is a basic product mix and we have. And going ahead, I told you we will be entering the different segments and making the luggage segment limited to, and any of the segments limited to not more than 30% of our existing business. Yes, tell me.
And about margins, like what margins you are getting from the luggage one and the upcoming defense one?
See, the maximum. The maximum margin what you see is from the luggage industry right now. And going ahead, when we limit this segment to 30% and take the other segments in-house, so as we grow more in the different segment or specialist garments or the other industries, the margins are much higher from this industry from there. Those industries.
Okay. Okay, that's all from there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Singh from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, this dyeing unit was commissioned in Q1 FY26. So what is the current utilization?
Right now, we are almost utilizing 70% to 75% of that unit. And we will come to 100% utilization because we had a holiday of Diwali, so we were not able to commence it 100%. But we'll be utilizing it 100% from December, I think so.
But did you mention in answering to earlier participant that you are planning for doubling the capacity?
Yes, sir. We did plan to double the capacity because we have all the infrastructure we have ready. But we have put the first phase of machine there and we will plan to double it. Yeah.
Okay. So how much time that would take?
So that would not take too much time. If we means we will plan to do it very soon.
Very soon. No, you may come in, let's say, do it in the next financial year. It would take 3 to 4 months?
Yes, sir, because we just need to order the machines. Rest everything completed, yeah.
Okay.
And machines will get generally ready only. They don't take too much time for those.
Too much, yeah. Okay. Now, once you start this dyeing unit, you had mentioned in your earlier calls that EBITDA margin should go up.
Yes. Sir.
Now, if you see H1, comparatively, the margins are down. So, is it because this unit is yet to stabilize? That's why
Sir, because like I told in the call right now, that Daniel just started and we had achieved the 70% digitally. But actually, you can say that we have bought a... the talent what we have hired, they are capable to make something very big. But right now we are telling them to repair us. They are
able to make a Mercedes, and right now we are telling to make a market with them. So as they start making the higher products, the margin will gradually increase. And the machines also, you know, when the machine starts, we cannot take directly the high-end products. Or the people
correct.
Also who are going to, we need to have the certification, like right now we are going at for OCOTEX, for GRS. So we need to, the factory has just started, the license is yet to come. So we have to take all the certifications for the factory. Then we can get those high-end business in that. And we are on it. So very soon we'll get all those certifications and then those business will get in.
Okay. Sir, my second question is, like, as and when you have to do future any capex, I know not for dyeing, you said it's already infrastructure is developed, but for any other, you know, stitching or weaving or all that, do we have spare land for future capex?
Yes, sir. We have just beside our this dyeing factory, we have a huge land there also. And I don't think that means we have huge land capacity built in the factory. Just the construction needs to be done and this we are ready to go.
So whatever the growth targets you have in mind, so for that, for next 5 years, you have the sufficient land bank to take care of that.
Yes, sir. We have plenty of land for us. That is not a problem.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, my second question is the sales target that you had given in the earlier calls. You had mentioned for, let's say, FY26 around 220 to 240 crores.
Yes.
And 27 was 280 to 300 crores.
Yes.
But now you are giving around 25% CAGR, which is relatively less than what this earlier target. So just wanted to know which one is more achievable. And
sir, if you see the H1, you can get everything.
H1, I think from that, it looks 220, 230 should be possible in this year. But the subsequent you had given 280, that you have given less, so that's why I'm asking that.
Sorry to interrupt. The line for Mr. Rajiv has been disconnected. Please stay connected while we join them. The line for Mr. Rajiv has been connected. Thank you and over to you.
Disconnected, yeah. Yeah, sir, I was answering the call. Like you can see the H1, it's already at 107 CR. So you can get the S2 yourself. So I don't need to say anything.
No, agree. That I agree.
Yeah.
26 is achievable. But what I was asking is 27.
It will be 100% achievable. I don't think so that we need to say anything.
Okay. Okay, fine. Sir, my third question is, what do we do with this, the boutique factory at Noida? What is the, you know, activities we do there?
Basically, it's a, like you told, it's a boutique factory. So we are trying to make the best of the products because we don't get the talent easily hired in Surat. So we have made that factory to make some exclusive products, which we can target the good brands. Because, you know, at start, the people don't try to come to Surat directly. Like a Walmart buyer, they will not come directly to Surat. So we have just presented a small factory for showcasing our talent there. And once the buyers are through, we might take all the production to Surat back again. So this is a factory to show our talent basically.
Okay. So factory means what facilities does it have?
So it's a small stitching unit. It's a 10,000 square foot factory. And it has a small showroom out there. And some sampling people, our 10-15 sampling people out there, and some 50-60 machines.
Oh, okay, okay. Sir, my last question is, this solar power we have installed, so as of now, how much is the capacity and are we going to increase the investment in that?
Sir, right now we have a capacity of around 2 megawatts, approx. And yes, we are trying to increase that because we need to set the final output of our electricity supply in the dyeing factory. And once we achieve that, know that because we are allowed to only consume 65% of the electricity. Right. So once we know that, we are planning to install one solar for the dyeing unit also. Because it is helpful not only for the electricity part, cost saving also, it's helpful for the certifications also, and the brands prefer to be carbon free and we get the carbon free points also for that.
Okay. So my last question is, the promoters holding, you know, there is small, you know, reduction in April compared to March, this one. So was it any reason? Was it there or anything? It is just for
No, I don't think so. So there is a reduction. In fact, we have increased. Okay, I understand, because there was a preferential allotment that time in April.
Okay.
So what happened, we had done a convertible warrant out there. In fact, our equity have increased only because our warrants are yet to be converted to the equity. So this will increase by 4-5%, means we'll be already at 73-74%. It will be increasing by 5%, you think so, when these are converted.
Acha. Okay. Oh, so that is basically for the preferential. But sir, question is, in spite of having raised the money through preferential, the debt has gone up to, but either you are yet to receive the amount or you have utilized this money for some other purpose.
The debt has not gone up, I think. The debt is the same. We have not increased any, means for that debt out there, it might be that, means the promoter money is yet to pump in, because there's a debt of the promoter money which is converting to the equity. Rest, I don't think so. Arvind ji can answer this question. Arvind ji.
Yes. Sir, yeah, I think there is some mistake. Debt is not going up. Already, we are, if you see from 31st March 2025 to as on 30th September 2025, debt has reduced also for short-term borrowings also reduced and long-term borrowings also have reduced, no?
Okay. So after receiving the whatever the remaining money, it will go down further.
Yes.
Yes, sir. We are already paying every month. We are paying the term loan also, and everything is reducing with every. We are almost paying 40-50 lakhs every month, Arunji, for the term loan.
Yes, near about 30 lakhs, and also the what we what in there is pending the convertible warrant. So near about 18 crore, which will be converted to equity of promoters unsecured loans also. In coming, I think so in coming 1 year, we have 1 year time.
Okay. So that would not go up at all?
No, sir.
Okay. Sir, since Arvind sir has come, sir, one small information, what would be the tax rate for FY 26 and 27?
It's approx 26% by the government only, no?
So the whatever is the, you know, 25% plus the surcharge.
Yes.
As they say.
Yes.
But we don't have any other benefits in that.
No, sir.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from the participants in the conference call, we request you to kindly limit your questions to per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue again. The next question is from the line of Prabal Jain from SM Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First of all, thank you for hosting this call, and we expect that we'll get to hear from you more in the coming time. So, my first question is, I wanted to understand more the nature of our revenue. So as I understand, you know, from previous participants on the call, our 57% of the revenue is coming from luggage. And the rest is coming from some other products, and we have a lot of products. So what kind of contracts typically, you know, do we have? Like, is it based on like project-based, like every quarter or half year, we place revenue for the number of units? So the nature of the contracts and the pricing typically, like, because you have guided for maintaining or like taking your gross margins to 30%, do you, in the nature of contracts, have the escalation clause to, you know, pass on the increase in your RM costs or? So just wanted to understand this whole entire the contract, you know.
Sir, first of all, for what you told that we have guided for the 30%, I'm sorry, but I never guided for the 30%. That the gentleman asked me that what is the highest level of revenue which the people get and the highest level of PAT what the people get in this different segment. So I just quantified that this is the main player who is doing that. He is there. And regarding our contract, what we have, see, we generally get a prediction of next 3 months to 6 months from these brands, whatever they order. Plus, because we are dealing with them from so long, from last 30, 20 years or 10 years, so we already know that what they need and how they need. So before they give us the prediction, we already plan for the same. And the because these items are same, you know, we keep a ready stock for all these items. It's the same fabric what is used in a inner lining for a garment, for a, just need a different value addition on that, it becomes a rainwear fabric. Just in a different value addition, it becomes a luggage fabric. So we keep the raw fabrics ready, and as we get the orders, we keep supplying them. And but we have a prediction of 3 to 6 months for all the orders.
So that's on the demand, but what on the like the pass on thing, like of your raw material cost and escalations, and like how do you figure that out?
Sir, I didn't exactly get your question.
So you are procuring yarn from outside, right?
Yes, yes, the yarn and chemicals are the outside segments. Rest we have everything in house.
Yes, so what happens, like, you know, if there is a lot of volatility in those prices, like prices shoot up a lot.
From the, I can give you data of last 20 years from when I am working. So the yarn has maximum gone means up 5 to 7% fluctuation from there. And once it was 10%, so whenever there is a fluctuation in the prices, the government people are, I mean, these people also get an update from Reliance directly. They are not dealing in yarn directly, but they get updates from all these companies, get an update. And whenever there's something like that, they are always ready to listen to us and change the pricing accordingly. But up to 5%, we also don't ask them, and they also don't ask us. Because yarn comprises only 13% of our production. So if we convert it to the finished goods, it is not very big.
Okay. And sir, by the way, on slide 19, you have mentioned the way forward margin trajectory, gross margin greater than 30%. I understand by the next 2-3 years, you are guiding for, new product lines to, take up. And maybe you are guiding it at a blended level of the total company level.
I never told 30%. I told that 30% is for that company who is doing only defense. And as you gradually go up...
No, sir, I'm talking about your deck. Yeah. It's mentioned in your deck. Sri Karni platform page, slide 19. It's mentioned in your PPT.
What is it mentioned? Can you tell me?
Gross margin greater than 30%.
It's a gross margin you're talking about. Yeah, gross margin. Yeah. Yes, gross margin we are targeting on that. I thought you were talking about that, I think. But gross margin we are targeting on that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I was talking about...
Second question is more on the... Yeah, that is cool. My second question is more on qualitative nature. So recently we saw that, you are approved vendor for Walmart. So I just want to have a qualitative color on, are you talking to any, global, these giants who mentioned Target and all those. So is there any evaluation going on, anything in the final stages? And what kind of offtake agreements do you have with Target, this Walmart? I mean, what kind of numbers or colors on KPI we can expect? Like, what is the scale at which this will happen?
Sir, see, they don't give entry to these brands basically don't give entry so far. But we got ourselves on board with them in only 6 months from starting the factory. And now... Beyond Walmart, we also have Target in our kitty. We got the vendor code for them also. So being nominated by Walmart and Target themselves, we will have all the many more brands in our kitty. That will be very easy to get other brands. And regarding the volume targets, we think this year next year we will have almost 20% of our business with these brands.
Next year, at a total top line level, 20% of the business would be to.
I think
brands.
Yeah, we are focusing to increase the value with these brands. Might be it finished goods or might be it the raw material of these brands to the other factories what they are making.
Okay, great. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please proceed.
Sir, you said the doubling of capacity. So how much capex will be required and how much time for implementation for that capex?
I mean, for the dyeing house?
I think you mentioned doubling of the capacity, right? I don't know.
Sir, I mentioned about doubling the capacity of the dyeing house. I mentioned doubling the capacity of dyeing house. So okay. The infrastructure is already ready for the same.
We don't need to have any more construction for that. Just the machines have to be installed, and those machines will be around 9 CR, and we have the loan sanctioned for the same. And there's one more big thing. We have a good subsidy also on the same. So that is the thing.
Okay. And tariff impact, how much of your business was impacted by tariff permanently, temporarily? Can you give some idea, just a ballpark
number? We already had a big chunk of order in our hand. So as of now, the business was not impacted because we already had till December orders we have in hand for the finished goods unit. And I think so that the tariff war will end by this month only. And we are in talks for big orders. So as soon as it comes, we will be booking orders till March, April also. So let's see what happens after 10 days. But till now, the business is not impacted very big. Yes, okay. It is impacted with some margins, but it's not impacted production-wise.
Okay. And you said in last participant question that almost 20% of the revenue from Walmart target. So are you sufficiently capacity-wise there, because their volumes might be used? So are you sufficiently ready for capturing that internally
till,
as well
till
as
what talking we, yeah, till the volume we are talking in now, we are ready with that capacity, because Walmart has already done their factory capacity and compliance audit. Because that they don't sell anything with us. So this is already done. So till here, we are done with that.
Another thing,
we have the
spoke that low. Yeah. So you spoke about some low-end or low-margin work to be outsourced. So till what peak revenue you don't need to expand your own capacity? And how much out of, suppose you're earning, suppose 300 crore next year as an example. So how much you can outsource and how much you want to do in-house? Just give us a broad overview how you're thinking.
But we target to do in-house with the existing capacity only. And we don't target to increase more of the capacity of the weaving or knitting as of now. If we increase also, we will increase the high-end machines which we will be needing for defense or something else. But right now, up to 300 crores, I think we have the sufficient capacity with the contract manufacturing we are getting done outside. We don't need to increase too many things for up to 300 crores.
Okay, so basically you're saying 300 crores, your existing setup will be good enough. So after
existing
300
setup
crores,
with the contracted manufacturing what we have outside, so we don't think so that we will be needing anything too much for the to achieve these numbers at least.
Okay, so but after like FY28 onwards, you might require some capex for high-end machines. Is that assumption correct?
Yeah, as we enter in those business, but not very big, because you can say that almost 80-90% we have. If suppose we need to do something, we will replace our old machine, because the first machines will be old, so we can replace our few machines with the high-end machines and get the local business done outside also. So we will not target about the new buildings and everything. We'll just target about this. We have the land already ready, so we can target about getting a few machines to achieve those things. Rest we can do in-house also.
Okay. How much percentage of your revenue are comfortable outsourcing? Like in given number, like 20%, 30%, something of that sort, you're comfortable outsourcing to other third party?
And basically, it's not outsourcing. These are the contracted manufacturing, the factories which are working only and only for us, exclusively, and they don't let anyone else enter also. So these are all partner factories only. So we can call it our factory as well. So there is no limit that how much we can go out there in-house, but we means as we grow, we can target about 20-30% from out there and achieve the major things in-house.
Okay. Thanks and all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehak Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir. Tell me.
So I just wanted to know that in one of the previous presentations, you've mentioned that the company has plans to diversify in another raw materials beyond polyester, like nylon and cotton. So what is expected demand impact and how are you seeing this diversification to be on the positive side of the company and how it will contribute more towards your growth?
See, as we told, nylon almost costs double of polyester. So as we go in nylon and we make the same fabric, suppose we are making 10 meters of nylon and 10 meters of polyester, the revenue goes double in nylon. And the customer also changes. Like these are the local customers who are buying polyester. Suppose we go in nylon, the customer goes to the high-end customers. It becomes directly Samsonite or it becomes directly Defense or the other brands of the world around the globe. So these those will impact the means have a good impact on the margins also. And regarding cotton, we are not going to weave cotton right now. We are targeting to dye it in-house. And because we have a old setup of the customers who are making dust bags and other cotton bags and exporting that. So we will be targeting to get cotton in-house, dyed in-house, printed in-house and made bags and supply it to the various brands around the globe. So these will have a good impact on the margins also.
Okay. And any plans to diversify in any other raw materials or from the cost side or something?
Means you are trying to ask it any other raw material we will be doing other than polyester, nylon, and cotton.
To diversify in other raw material segments.
In fact, polyester and nylon is such a huge business. Means only polyester and nylon can be in multiple of crores. Means you can say more than 1 lakh crore industry in India. So we need to target the main focus business of our what we have. Then we can see after going ahead after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we can think about anything else.
Okay. And also you said that 20% the company is planning to incorporate from recycled pads. So how are we going to resource them or how is the product being utilized?
We are already doing our almost 10% of our business in the pad, in the recycled pad items. Means we directly buy the recycled pet yarns from the yarn companies. And thus we have everything in our weaving line.
Okay. Then one more question I just wanted to know from the defense side. The company has already started to supply the defense graded fabric to one or two small vendors. So are there any certifications required, and if required, does the company have the certifications, and how are we planning to pour in this particular segment in next to 1 or 2 years? How can we see this segment to grow from the company's perspective?
See, the segment is very huge. And from the company perspective, we are in connects with the officials and everyone to give us an entry. But there is a barrier because only 2-3 players are in that. So I think once we are through with the right connect, it can click any time. But we cannot say the exact time of that. But we are on it, I can tell you. But we are developing the products till that time. So both things can consume means simultaneously work, that the product is developed and we get the entry also. So we are doing that.
Okay, and on the certification side?
See, there are no very big certifications. There are a few certifications you need to have a minimum of turnover, you need to have these factories. We have everything in-house, they need to have an ISO, they need to have a SEDEX, we have the certification, but there are some certifications they approve, like the CSD supply. So CSD approves the factory. So once we are through with the product and once they start giving the CSD certification, we will apply to them. That will not be a very big issue.
Okay done. Thank you for my side. That's all I have.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajiv Lakhotia for closing comments.
Thanks everyone for joining, and we look for a very good future ahead for SKFL, and see you in the journey, success journey of SKFL too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
On behalf of Srikarni Fabcon Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your line.